The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health for Ulster County. With me today is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Hello, Vin.
Hi, Dr. Smith. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Dr. Smith, February is American Heart Month, which is sponsored by the Centers for Disease Control and the American Heart Association, and they describe it as a time when everyone can focus on their cardiovascular health. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, heart health and preventing heart disease. And we have a return guest who is an expert on the subject, and he is Dr. Ellis Lader. He is a cardiologist and medical director of the Cardiology Division, Department of Medicine at Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley. He received his medical degree from New York University School of Medicine. He's a fellow of the American College of Cardiology, a fellow of the American College of Physicians, and a fellow of the American Heart Association. Welcome back, Dr. Lader.
Always a good sign when you get asked back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
Dr. Lader, there's an exciting new program that WMC, Westchester Medical Center Health, has debuted, and it's a heart disease prevention program located in Kingston. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think the our organization is putting an increased focus on prevention. So while we have all kinds of exciting therapies for people who already have heart disease, it's actually far more cost effective and everything to prevent these diseases from happening. And it's a multi-specialty group of dietitians, which I think it's really important, nutritionists, endocrinologists, cardiologists who are focusing on the some of the major and preventable causes of heart disease, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, and bad eating habits, weight and exercise and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful program. Mm-hmm.
One other element there too is smoking cessation, because we know that tobacco smoking has really been very much involved in precipitating chronic diseases, and certainly heart disease overall, which is still our number one cause of death in our county, in our state, and nationwide.
No, agree. And to have access to an organized program that'll be focusing on these risk factors is really a big plus.
It is.
Dr. Lader, in the notes, program is described as using a best practice methodologies to assess and manage the factors that can lead to cardiovascular disease. So what does that look like?
Well, I think it all starts with a good history, especially focusing on family history, which is often a marker of risk for an individual. And then including nutritional history, exercise habits, and then, physical evaluation, which is, weight, body mass index, labs, measuring, your cholesterol and triglycerides and things. And then from there, it moves to focusing on things that are modifiable, things that can be managed with lifestyle changes, which are many of these can have impacts on overall risk. When you're talking about blood pressure, lipids, sugars and diabetes, and then moving to a unified plan of action, which again includes lifestyle changes and may include medications as well.
Mm-hmm. And so that initial evaluation takes place, but we know that these things are not immediately, it's difficult for one to turn these things around overnight. It progress, if hopefully it happens, will happen over time. Does the program have a built-in system for going the distance with those folks?
Yes. A problem with any of these programs is, individuals' loss of interest and dropout. But I think we'd be making every effort to keep the people who are involved in the program engaged. and with a multimodality follow-ups, both in person and with telehealth. So I think we're taking advantage of every modality that we have to be able to keep an individual engaged, because again, these sorts of things are not one and done deals. They're long haul, looking to change what may be a lifetime of bad habits. It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. And do the resources that have been brought to bear with Westchester Medical Center and the new hospital that's been renovated, are there a lot more resources and staffing and expertise that's available to you as you coordinate and integrate this program?
Yes, I think Westchester has been really instrumental in providing us resources that we didn't have before. I think the most glaring deficiency has been a good nutritional counseling program, diet and nutritional counseling. Mm-hmm. Right now, we'll be using people, using telehealth resources, as we still don't have these individuals in our facility, in our community. But I think hopefully over time we'll be recruiting them. In the meantime, we'll be using telehealth to have these team of people available to us.
Mm-hmm. And we know that low income populations and disadvantaged populations have chronic disease rates and health outcomes that are much poorer than the average population. Is this true in the area of cardiovascular disease, and how does that impact the chances for treatment and recovery, so to speak?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and sadly that is true. And I think it's a combination of access and awareness and cultural issues that make it more of a challenge. So that's well recognized in as we try to roll out this program. I sit on a Kingston commission for health and wellness. Actually, last Wednesday was my first meeting with the organization, and they're like a laser focus on this problem. So they don't know it yet, but I'll be bringing this program to our next commission meeting, and hopefully they have the resources, ground level resources in Kingston anyway, but in Ulster County, to kind of roll this out in areas which otherwise you may not conventionally be able to get to. That's a very big problem. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. And is it, I was reading in the notes here that 80% of cardiovascular disease is preventable. Is that accurate?
Well, that's...
I mean, that's an average.
It depends what you mean by preventable, because, as we get older and things start to happen to us, ultimately certain things are not preventable, but they can definitely be delayed, and in ways that could make our lifetimes far more meaningful and quality a big deal. So that, and what I mean is that we don't want to have a stroke when we're young and have a miserable quality of life for the next 10 or 20 years. I think a lot of disease states can be avoided, delayed, or modified in ways that ultimately will be able to live longer with a better quality of life. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to have heart attacks when we're young. We don't want to need bypass surgery when we're young. We don't want a stroke when we're young. We don't want to have legs amputated from peripheral vascular disease. All these things are greatly affected by cardiovascular risk, which in turn are subject to avoidance and prevention and delay just by dealing with these risk factors. And I imagine you're going to ask me, but what are the risk factors and things that we can do to modify our risk?
That was exactly my next question.
I read your mind. It's It's, you know, I think especially what Dr. Smith said is smoking cessation or avoidance. That's so important. And then it's things like avoiding diabetes. How do you avoid diabetes? Well, you maintain an ideal body weight and you exercise regularly. How do you minimize your risk of high blood pressure? It's kind of the same thing. Well, you ideal body weight, and you exercise regularly. How do you keep your cholesterol in check? There's a theme. But I think, you know, avoiding not smoking, making sure we keep our blood pressure, we know what it is, keep it, you know, well controlled. Ideal body weight, we've said that now four times. Mm-hmm. Regular physical activity, I think I've said that also four mm-hmm. times. You know, knowing what your blood sugar is and making sure if you have diabetes, it's treated. And finally, knowing what your lipids are, your cholesterol, triglycerides, and treating them if you need to. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can minimize our risk of having something bad happen in the cardiovascular world.
You know, we did an event at the Point of Praise Church this past Sunday, a blood pressure screening and what have you. And a number of people asked, you know, about like exactly that. What do I do to help prevent heart disease and what have you? And now I talked about exercise and diet. And, you know, what I suggested to them also was that, you know, you take small steps. You know, exercise doesn't have to be a rigorous exercise program. You don't have to go to the gym, you know, and work out for 2 hours, you know, four days a week or radically change your diet. You can make small steps, take a nice walk every day, drink water instead of sugar sweetened beverages. There are a lot of small steps that can lead to big change.
You're absolutely right. You know, sometimes if you have a lot of things that need addressing, sometimes it's hard to deal with all of them at once. So you kind of pick the most important one and, you know, kind of go after that. And exactly as you said, the, you know, guidelines will say 30 minutes of exercise, moderate intensity every day of the week. Well, turns out that if your exercise is 15 minutes instead of 30, that you still see benefit from it. And if it's a slow walk instead of a moderate intensity walk, you still see benefit from it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like anything is better than nothing. And you start small and then you gradually progress, you know, if you want
build,
to.
Build confidence and momentum. I'm sure our listeners want to learn a lot more about prevention and also about your program. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Dr. Ella Slater, who is a preeminent cardiologist in Ulster County. Dr. Slater, we're having a wonderful conversation about coronary disease and how to prevent it. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, simple measures that one can take to prevent it from happening in one's life. The earlier, the better that we initiate some of these more beneficial behavioral practices. But, you know, if someone is in the point of their life where now they have developed cardiac disease, how do you manage that with respect to evaluating it, treating it in your practice? And maybe you could just talk a little bit more about, you know, how you manage that disease from your perspective. Thank you.
Sure. I mean, I think there's, I think that's a question that could probably take an entire semester to answer. But you could, we could pick a couple of things to look at. So suppose somebody's been diagnosed with high blood pressure, and you know, the targets for blood pressure have lowered over the years simply because it looks like a lower blood pressure really has fewer risks of stroke and heart failure than higher blood pressure. And now our goal, and this is across all age groups, is to get that top number, the blood pressure, into that 120 to 130 over 70 to 80 range. It's not just medicines, you know, so there are lifestyle non-medicines that help lower blood pressure and can lower blood pressure as much as a pill can. So the four things we always talk about are lowering salt in the diet, which is good even if you don't have high blood pressure. You know, the I think a reasonable salt restriction would be maybe 4 grams a day. And, you know, we could get these numbers from looking at packages and things. Stricter might be better, but, you know, sometimes it's not achievable. So salt restriction, regular activity. And, you know, so walking, again, doesn't have to be fast or vigorously, but any activity is better than nothing. Some weight loss. Weight loss can lower blood pressure, and it doesn't have to be 40 pounds. Sometimes it might be 5 or 10 pounds can make an impact on blood pressure. And the last thing that we would suggest is what they call a DASH diet. The DASH diet is an acronym from a couple of National Institutes of Medicine intervention studies that were done a number of years ago. But basically, they said that if you add a serving of low-fat dairy every day to an otherwise heart-healthy diet, you can lower your blood pressure a couple of points. And if you add that to a salt restriction, you could lower blood pressure on the average of 5 to 7 points. So, you know, so that's kind of one thing as we're working with medicines to lower an individual's blood pressure. You know, those four interventions can be helpful. If somebody's cholesterol is elevated, again, another area of prevention that we work with, you know, the whether or not we treat somebody's elevated cholesterol depends upon what level of risk we think an individual is at. So that would include things like how old you are, whether there's a family history of heart disease, whether you've already had a cardiac event of some kind. So when we're treating high cholesterol, it's not just the number. People ask, is this number, what's a normal blood pressure number for me? And we answer kind of like a parent would, well, it depends, but it depends on a number of things. There are risk scores that we use to kind of calculate an individual's risk of a cholesterol number. What we're using more nowadays is something called a calcium score, which is a low X-ray, no contrast CT scan of the heart that is able to detect calcified plaque in the blood vessels, often well before it gets severe enough to cause a symptom or be detectable on a stress test. That's one of the new pieces of equipment we have in our wonderful new hospital is the a CT scanner that's able to do these calcium scores. So as we're worrying about cholesterol, does it need to be treated and how aggressively, that's often something that more and more we're using. If we're worrying about symptoms, if we find somebody's walking and you start to get chest discomfort, and the question is this the beginning of angina, a symptom that tells us that a coronary artery is blocked? Well, we can do a stress test or an exercise test, and we have a whole variety of tests with or without images that help us decide if there's a blocked artery that's actually getting important. And maybe the last thing, you know, we're talking about detecting, you know, disease before it causes trouble. if on physical examination, your doctor hears a heart murmur, and we're trying to decide, is a heart valve leaking or is it narrowed or causing troubles? We'll do an ultrasound of the heart called an echocardiogram. It gives us nice pictures, again, just using ultrasound, that shows us how well the heart is pumping and whether the valves are opening and closing properly. And, you know, I think this is kind of an array, and I haven't mentioned everything because we only have 11 minutes, you said. But, you know, some of the testing that's available to at least start the ball rolling and figuring out if anything is going on. And I have to give my colleague, Dr. Shah, a shout out. He's part of our team of interventional cardiologists. He's the director of our cath lab, who, if a blocked artery gets to the point where it's really starting to cause trouble and stress testing or other imaging looks like it's really bad, we're able to do heart catheterizations and do stents and to open up blocked arteries in patients. And this is a big part of the, you know, the programs now are available at our hospital. Mm-hmm. Well, does that answer your question?
Wow, that was a great answer.
And it's good to know that all of this is available right in Kingston at the Westchester Medical Center / Health Alliance facility that was recently renovated and currently in easy access to us in Ulster County, which is a great thing. And, you know, these hopefully things won't get to the point of needing these interventions, but it sure is good to know if the intervention is available that can prevent either further heart damage to happen, which is
you're
the goal.
Absolutely
and,
right.
And certainly working with your physician and, you know, following his or her advice in terms of all of this really could save your life, which is the goal that certainly we all have. And again, not only length of life, but quality of life. So we appreciate all of that work.
Yeah, I don't know if we're the only profession, but we're certainly one of the rare professions. We're trying to put ourselves out of business.
Yeah, I mean, so much progress has been made. I mean, really, it's really amazing what's being done. I mean, compared to, you know, as short a time as, you know, 25 years ago or even less than that.
Absolutely.
Dr. Lader, you mentioned with plaque and putting stents in to remove some of the blockages, is that the primary treatment when there's excess plaque in the arteries, or are there others that are available as well? Or
yeah, there's a great deal of research, and you know, you're probably aware of considerable controversy in how best to deal with blockages that get to the point where they're starting to cause symptoms. I think what's clear is that a person who has these blockages and who's having a heart attack or who's threatening to have a heart attack, there's great benefit in opening them up you know, mechanically with a balloon and a stent or doing a bypass operation. Patients who have blockages that haven't gotten to the point of causing a heart attack or almost heart attack see great benefit with just what they call optimum medical management. So that's with good control of blood pressure, aggressive control of cholesterol, aspirin, you know, for platelet therapy and things along those lines, where even though there may be blockages in the coronary arteries, putting stents in those blockages may not improve things beyond what you can achieve with aggressive medical management. So we're seeing actually a trend, and it's based on evidence. We were actually involved in one of the clinical trials that is kind of developed in this evidence that just optimal medical management is a key for treating people who have blocked arteries, and that many of them who otherwise are stable don't need you know, interventions. Mm-hmm. This is an area of very intense, you know, investigation still, but I think that's a very good question you raised.
Thank you. So we only have about 25 seconds left. Unfortunately, time flies. It's very interesting. So the program, the cardiovascular disease prevention program, is located in Kingston at the Health Alliance Hospital, correct? So how do people reach that or get more information and reach you?
There are two sets of numbers, one for the prevention program, which I think, Dr. Smith, you had and you might mention, and then there's the number for our office, mm-hmm. which, again, we could, depending on what you're calling about, we can direct you in the right direction.
Sounds great. And that number, I have it handy here. It's 914-909-6922. Our guest is Dr. Ellis Lader, a cardiologist here in Kingston. Great new program to prevent heart disease. Thank you so much for the work that you and your colleagues do. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and thanks for asking me back.
Yes,
thank
it's
you
a
for
pleasure.
Your time. Much appreciated.
You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.